Elevate your everyday wellness with Green Chef, the number one meal kit for clean eating. Get 60% off plus 20% off your next 2 months with code 60JTRAIN at greenchef.com/60JTRAIN. greenchef.com/60JTRAIN. Code 60JTRAIN. Welcome to the JTRAIN podcast. Today we have Dan St. Germain. We're talking about St. Patrick's Day, dating someone who keeps talking about their ex and stretching in the sauna. Check it out. And we have Dan's conspiracy theories. We got conspiracy theories with Dan St. Germain. Check it out. Share, enjoy, comment. Let us know what you think.
Welcome to the new JTRAIN podcast.
Hello and welcome to the JTRAIN podcast. This is JTRAIN, Jared Fried, coming to you live from New York City. That's right. We're here at Feather Nation Studios every Monday. We read your emails. Keep sending them in, JTRAINpodcast@gmail.com. We want good, specific emails. We want mailbag advice emails. We want luxury lounge. I want your complaints. I think I want to do like a bigger luxury lounge episode. So send in like a short complaint. If you're watching on YouTube, take your thumb and your pointer finger and make a little bracket. That's about as long as it should be. And then we can do a bunch of them. Very excited. Today's guest and co-host, hilarious comic. He's got a special. It's out tomorrow. It's coming out
March 12th, baby.
March 12th.
On YouTube for free.
YouTube for free. I mean, like,
no paywall.
Well, here's the thing. It's not free. Okay, we want you to comment.
Yes.
We want you to like. Those are payments. Those
subscribe,
are
share, subscribe, please share. Share. Please share.
I mean, on the dollar, like if we were to put a dollar amount, like look, you just said please share, like if someone gave you a 50. Like you had the energy of like, whoa, oh, big thank you, sir. Just, like
it's we're truly living in a dystopian reality.
Well, we are. That's why I'm happy Dan St. Germain is here to really bring us down to reality. Yeah. Dystopian reality. It is a little dystopianish. It's a little Black Mirror-ish. Here's the thing. The problem is, and I talked about this years ago. You and I are around the same age.
Yeah, but you figured it out. And I decided to go up the normal way, which is, Comedy Central gives you a half hour, and then eventually they give you an hour and you write on shows, and I did the writing shows. But then by the time I'm supposed to get the hour, Comedy Central didn't exist anymore.
I guess this is exactly what I'm talking about. We are the beta generation. Mm-hmm. We are the test generation. We are the in between. You know, and that's the thing. You're saying I got a free special on YouTube. And then I'm telling this audience, like, and there's people out there, oh, it's free. Who cares? And it's like, please like it so Father Algorithm.
Yeah, he's a Father
Algorithm. will bring me to the heavens. And it's like, and we're really not asking for much. I know that we're starting with a beg. I don't want to start this by. Yeah. Like this episode too, please.
Please. Yeah, this needs to grow as well.
Right. We all
so
need
So I can
likes.
Come back on this and it means something, please.
Right. That's the thing. It's like, we're all just like, if anything, the listener should know that like, when you know, you could be like a billionaire siphoning off likes here and there. Here's a like for you. Here's a like for you. And it matters to us. And I think, you know, when you say like you got a Comedy Central half hour, I remember like you and I would be at like the Eastville open mic. And I was like, and you would like did Conan that week.
I was still doing open mics.
Yes. Yeah.
When I did late night with Jimmy Fallon for sure. I did one open mic last year. I did one at the Pear, which was actually really fun.
Yeah.
Because I was there for a show and I got there early. So I was like, I'll just do it.
Right.
But I could never do, like we were talking before this podcast.
Right.
I could never do what we did like when we started.
Right.
Like, and
that's the hard thing is like looking back on it. You're like, I can't believe I went in the back of a bar and performed for five people that I knew that had already heard the jokes I did earlier that week. Yeah.
Some of which actively hate me.
Right. You know, people like, are going, what the fuck? This guy's on Fallon.
Right.
And actively he's here at the open rooting mic
for you. That's the one thing I have noticed that's a little bit better about now than then is that like, I think more people that you're friends with want you to succeed than back in the day because there is that element of, it's us versus the machines versus us versus each other.
You do see that with, like, you see someone younger post a clip and it's like 70, you know, cheering emojis from like so-and-so comedy. And they know there's a reciprocity. Again, to go back to the payment of these things, they're paying each other. They're slipping each other ones under the table to make sure other people will slip them ones. I don't even know if anyone's relating to this listening. Like, I don't know. That's the thing. But it's this in-between generation where it's like, and you were getting, you got the half hour, you're doing Comedy Central half hour. And it's like, at the same time, I was like, will anyone like say hello to me? And I'm like, okay, I'll go start a podcast. You know what I mean?
So, and it's that, like, was the smarter bet.
Well, smarter is just what you did. Like, if you had the time. Like, I, you know, I wouldn't expect someone who's doing Comedy Central half hour or getting opportunities to write on shows to have the time.
Well, that's what I mean. There's podcasts I left because I got a job writing on a show.
Right. And the podcast is like an investment.
Yeah.
It's a cat.
And I was like, well, I'm not going to make money from this podcast.
Right.
So of course I'm going to be making money writing for TV. And now, like, the amount of new TV shows that are greenlit are infinitesimal.
I don't even know the meaning of that word. But you look at like the sitcom world, like look at sitcoms. To be on a sitcom right now, that is the equivalent to me of like winning a lottery.
I mean, it's very hard to accomplish. And you know, I'm lucky I've written for one, but you know, for the most part, you know, there's just not many shows that are being greenlit. And now you have to look at, like, you know, when a show is greenlit, the studio gets a say on who's writing and being on it.
Right.
The network gets a say. Then the creators want their people they want to bring in.
And that's a seat taken.
Exactly.
And now there's one seat with...
There's like one seat that literally you're going up against somebody who, you know, got 10 Emmys from Frasier. You know, it's a very...
If you're wondering why the shows you watch aren't that funny... this is corporate America putting their hands into, you know, when MGM gets to decide who the writer is, it's different than you being like, hey, my buddy who I really, you know, hit it off with, and we have the same, you know, vibe and wavelength. Again, this is why you go to YouTube, and this is why you're finding things on TikTok that make you laugh more than the things that are produced from on high. And it's like, you know, again, this is all to say, you have a special out.
Please watch the special. You're also, well, I think stand-up is doing very well because you can cut it up and it works.
Right.
But I think that the reason sitcoms, not one of the many reasons they're not doing as well as they used to, is like a sitcom's competition is not another sitcom. A sitcom's competition now is a funny dog video, a funny little kid video, somebody getting knocked out on the street for saying the N-word on YouTube.
I'm going to watch
There's a free element.
Yeah, maybe a story that I might connect with, which I probably won't.
Sure, we're in the P.T. Barnum age of, you know, of like just... The thing that we used to go to the carnival to pay, you know, hey, pay five, you know, 25 cents and see this, you know, this severed hand. Like, that's become all of the internet.
This is why I love having you on. You're totally right.
Yeah.
I agree with the P.T. Barnum is so funny. And listen, I want everyone to go follow Dan St. Germain because he has... You also have like just these clips out there. Like,
I put three clips out a week.
And they're highly produced and they're so funny. And they're bits. They're not like, what do you do, sir? Like, I don't do many.
I have a couple crowd work, but I don't do it as much.
Well, it's funny that you say like these videos that like, I want to show this video right now. This is off the script. I'm sending this to V.
Of them are high quality, but some are high quality.
No, but I'm sending this because I wanted to show you like, this is what we're competing with. I laughed so hard at this video just now. I'm sending it to V. And this video came up, and it's just a woman sneezing.
It's like, how am I going to beat that?
Oh, there's no... it's on Instagram. Instagram is down. Look at Father Algorithm.
Yeah, he decided.
Beating us down again.
I was actually checking my Instagram and it was down. And then the first thing is like, did I do something wrong?
And then you sweat. You're like, oh my God, someone got into my account. Now you're running to Twitter. And then you see all the gifs of like, don't worry, it's broken. And it's like, we're all fucked.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's scary. Well, we'll get to this at the end of the show. I'll show you what I'm just on the subject.
Yeah.
It's a woman. I can show it. You can show it?
Yeah.
It's a woman literally sneezing. And it's the funniest video because it makes me think of my mom. And it's like, I'm not watching The Office.
No.
If this exists. This is, I mean, it's, you got it? Okay, play it. This is okay. I hate, it's just a meme. But it goes so long. And it's me, I hate being the center of attention. And then it's also me. And mm-hmm. it's this woman. Ready? She's not even sneezing.
No, it's just this is like a Vietnam flashback.
I mean, someone was sitting there being like, my mom is so annoying. And then she's like, they were like, I need the world to see. This is what you're competing with.
Like, how can you compete?
You can't. And it's a. She doesn't even sneeze. She... That's the thing. It's like, this is tough, and I man. Know this woman. Like, this woman exists on
and
Earth.
It's real.
It's real. Like, I believe it. Yeah. I don't believe this was like a gotcha thing. I believe mm-hmm. someone's kid was like, my mom just needs attention all right. the time, and she never sneezes. She just screams instead
and
of sneezing.
It worked out,
and it worked. And then they get, you know, they get 10 of them in a row, and you're like, right, I've gotten my laugh in for the day.
And I'm on Instagram Discover all the time.
Right,
I'm on that more than anything else. Like, I've seen a couple stand-up specials this year, but mostly I'm on Instagram Discover, and it feeds you exactly what you want to see.
Woman's so it's like, fake sneezing.
It's like women's fake sneezes, women's fake butts. You know, like for me, it's like pro wrestling clips or like an NFL. Like, how many times do you just like watch like just like touchdowns from like 1990?
Dude, if they played the Tuck Rule game with like, you know, like yeah. with like Brady with the, you know, the with the snowball, if they played like just like a documentary style of people being like, and then they reverse the call. I'm like, I'm in.
Exactly.
I'm going to relive my childhood. There's, you know, like,
yeah, it's just all, and it's, and someone's cutting up something that you haven't seen since childhood.
Right.
So like, I haven't seen that toy since I was like 8 years old.
Right. And nostalgia wins big time. I mean, to speak of nostalgia, it is St. Patrick's Day this weekend.
That's true.
How do you feel about St. Patrick's Day?
Well, I'm sober right now.
Okay.
There are times where I haven't been. It's a pretty demented holiday, right?
It's a tough one. I mean, it's one of those things, and it is on the subject of what we're talking about. Like, looking back.
Are you going to be here during St. Patrick's Day in this vicinity? Because there is no drunker, scarier place than Penn Station on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, that?
It is like, it is
Walking
like,
Dead territory.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when, like, yeah, remember in Ghostbusters when, like, the ectoplasm chamber, like, erupted?
Right.
It's like that, but just with drunks. And they're all, like, walking around, pissing in cups. It's brutal.
It is a scene. I'm sure we could find it on TikTok and spend the day.
Just bridge and tunnel.
It's a tough scene here because people mm-hmm. do descend on New York City for St. Patrick's Day. But it is, again, like, I don't like to look down on a day that I enjoyed so much. Do you have a St. Patrick's Day?
You're like close to 40 now, right?
Yeah.
So it's over.
It's over. And it's weird because this is like,
that's not the thing you're enjoying anymore.
No. I mean, I could. It is always interesting. St. Patrick's Day is always the interesting part is there are older people who do enjoy it, and they're doing like they're the guy with the scally cap on in the corner of the bar, and
but you never see those people with real friends outside that day,
right? Yeah, they're like never out any other day.
No, I mean, now it's like adults that are my friends. Like, if, like, for instance, like we were to hang out, like it would never be like, oh, this place is bumping. It would be like, oh, this place, they have a great chicken parm.
Right.
You know, like, it's like, the ambiance here is really nice.
What's your do you have a St. Patrick's Day memory of any kind?
I mean, in Ireland, I was in St. Patrick's Day, and I got so hammered that I woke up the next day, and I was in front of a kebab place holding a styrofoam cup, and people had thrown money in it, so they thought that I was homeless.
Really?
Yeah, that's like one of them.
So March 18th.
Yeah, it was.
You come to.
I was 20 years old, so this is like, God, it's almost 20 years ago now. And I was just three sheets to the wind. That was the same day that I had gotten drunk. I mean, I talked about this on Ari Shaffir's new podcast, but I had gotten drunk and somehow ended up in the Dublin Natural History Museum. Okay. And fell down a flight of stairs into a caveman exhibition. It's like caveman of today meets caveman of yesterday.
So wait a minute. What brought you in there?
I went to piss. I think I had to piss. Yeah, that was it. That's what when you're drunk, it's like every place you shouldn't be is because you have to piss.
Aren't you so happy that you would have been one of the viral videos? Like,
oh my god, it may still come out.
It's right. You don't know. I mean, that's the scariest part. Yeah. Is that someone could have been just standing there and they're like, wait a minute, that guy just fell into the caveman.
Have you ever been around like real people with real jobs when they're like, oh yeah, I don't want to post me holding a drink on Instagram. And then you think about like all the shit right. that's out there of you and you're like, I wish that the worst thing was me holding a vodka soda.
Right. There was, and also some of ours, we were like, hey, maybe this will make someone laugh.
Yeah.
And then you were like, oh, I wouldn't make someone laugh that way ever again in my life.
No, not at all. Because right. when you're a kid too, it's like, I mean, how many times when I was in college, you know, I would do the MacGruber thing where I would be at a party and like strip down naked and like shove a plunger up my ass and then like run into the next room
right.
and fall on my face. And like stuff now that's just,
well, that gets a different like lens.
That's over. Oh yeah, she's picturing it right now. That got you either have to start laughing or crying when you picture that.
Well, I'm picturing it and I'm like, there's two different like stories being told from that. And,
yeah.
And now there's something to gain. Like you can make money. Mm-hmm. Going on, I didn't even realize you can make the money you can make on TikTok. But if you get a viral video, like that's dollars and cents. Again, father algorithm. Right. This is the theme of today. Go watch Dan St. Germain's special.
Right.
It's out on YouTube right now. Go like, comment, just comment. Hey, I had fun. Watch. Don't comment here for the algorithm. Comment like this yeah. was funny. Okay,
yeah,
we
please.
Have feelings. So
that's another misconception. Is I think a lot of people write these. It's not the ones like. Who are like, this sucks, you're terrible. Like, clearly those people were trying to, like, hurt you.
Right.
Like, it's the ones that are like, I enjoyed this part, but this part wasn't, he seemed kind of nervous. Or, it's like the ones where, like, they're giving right. their review. Like, I'm also reading those.
Right. The ones know? That are, like, half shitty.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'd support you, but, like, this one thing made me really think about supporting
you.
I
wish you could go to their normal jobs and just be like, you really phoned it in today.
Right.
You just know, at your Allstate job.
You know, I really believe. No, you got to go in and go, you know, I really believed in you. And then I just watched you, like, zone out midday. And I was thinking.
Or the worst.
Are you ever going to make it in this industry? Oh. And it's like, those are the ones where they, like, they're thoughtful, but you know they're, yeah. like, a genius at taking you out.
Or the worst is, I wanted to like this.
Right.
When they start out with that. Like,
right.
I wanted to like this.
We have trained the
internet.
You
did everything in your power to make me not like this.
Right. You did it. This was a real feat for you to make me not like it. There was somewhere I was going with. I was, where was that right now?
I don't know. You were like, that was so funny because Jared's been on the whole time and now it's just a robot shutting down. Right? It's like it literally went from like 90.
I had something I was, right. I don't know where I was going, but.
Something about YouTube comments. What's the YouTube comment you got that's like the most hurtful?
No, I think on this, I think that's the thing that really bothers me is the one where they like, we've trained the commenters.
Yeah.
Like, you suck. No one does that anymore.
Right, this guy's unfunny.
It's rare.
It's like...
They do that. They pull you in. They go, yeah. I've been a fan for 30 years. And today, you said that one thing.
And that's it.
And you go, no, come back! And you're like, no, I don't know if that's true or
if
it's not true.
And if you saw this person in person, you would just be like, I don't care whether or not you like me, but I like whatever you're on... I'm more interested in your online avatar liking me.
Right. It's sad. I mean, so here's what I wanted to discuss.
Yeah.
There was another thing I was going to bring up. Okay. So St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. Oh, my greatest St. Patrick's Day memory isn't even getting drunk. I was at Penn State and I remember that they gave us like a vacation. So now there's a thing called State Patrick's Day, and you can look this mm-hmm. up, V. State Patrick's Day was created when I was at Penn State. And it was created because Penn State didn't want to deal with St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
They were like, we look at the festival draws an electric crowd from around the world to celebrate the Irish for more than 30 blocks along Manhattan's Fifth. Oh, that's St. Patrick.
Yeah.
No, State Patrick's Day, Penn State. I'm reading. I'm sorry. Celebrates the St. Patrick. No, when I was at Penn State, basically, the school was so annoyed at what was going on St. Patrick's Day that they were like, let's put vacation during St. Patrick's
really
Day.
Smart.
It was very smart. But this was right around when Facebook kind of was getting going and like right. events. And people realized it was like the animals realized we're not going to the park, we're going to the vet.
Yeah.
And all because all of Penn State's student body was like, wait a minute, we can't party at Penn State during St. Patrick's Day. So then they were like, screw it. We're creating a new one. We're going to say that this day is State Patrick's Day. And that's when we'll celebrate. And look at back in 2014, 2015, the university really cracked down on it. They would pay downtown bars to stay closed for the day. So then afterwards, as it got, you know, it started from this very nice thing where it's like, yeah. hey, we want to party with our college friends. And then it got so out of control. State Patrick's Day, that the university was like, please just do not open to the bars. They like paid them.
Oh my God.
And that's like, to me, that's like that is actually what partying is all about, because it starts in a good place.
Penn State, I think Penn State's real claim to fame as far as the people go there, it's the smartest animals. Like it's basically like the smartest people that would go to a college in Florida. Like they're too smart to go to Florida State, so they go to Penn State,
right?
And it's this like weird amalgamation of the sophisticated and the savage, you know?
Yes.
Because it's like if you took, you know, if you took UPenn and you took Fort Lauderdale and you or Daytona Beach and you somehow made this bizarre hybrid, that's what Penn State would be.
I agree with you. I'm not going to give myself that much credit because I went there, but I would say that it's like the Northeast savvy combined with the Southern
disgusting.
Party disgusting. Yes. Northeast savvy, Southern disgusting.
And
I want
to compliment Jared, because Jared was the first time, this is like when the Sandusky thing came out. Everybody like who I knew who was associated with Penn State or had went there or was a fan of even football and they didn't, which was the weirdest one, were like siding with Paterno. And you were the only one who was like, he's gotta go. Like
you were the only one who
came out and you're like, have you read what this guy did? Like, you're like, this has got to, like, we got to erase this from history.
I was big, because I was from Boston, so I didn't have this, like, Joe Paterno's my uncle type of mindset.
You're like, this is a crime.
He
this
should
isn't
be
even
fired.
Like a debate about, you know.
Right. It's and I also gave empathy to Joe Paterno in a similar way because I was like, yeah, if an old man, if you went to my grandpa, was like your best friend that you've been working with for 30 years, did these horrific things, he'd be like, what? Like, he'd be like, where am I?
Of course,
You know, but also, you shouldn't be in that job.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't handle that information, you should be retired. It's done.
It's,
you don't
it's
wear
over.
A headset on the sidelines. So,
right. It's over.
This is all to say, what holiday would you rather your significant other be really into?
Sandusky Day?
Let's see. Is there a holiday?
These,
like,
I'm looking at these five.
Here are the choices.
I have an answer already.
These are the holidays that don't matter, but they're a holiday.
Yeah, sure.
So there's Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, Halloween, 4th of July, Memorial Day. And that might be offensive to some that say Memorial Day doesn't matter, but it's a holiday we just
isn't
do.
Veterans Day like the one that's
I
like
think that's
supposed
the one
to
that
be
matters.
That's the one where it's like, yes, Memorial Day we honor the troops, but Veterans Day is the one where we honor
well this
like,
is
the fallen troops.
This is where
right?
the true good internet commenters come in, the ones that want to make you feel bad. They go, you don't care about Memorial Day,
dude. Somebody, I'll tell you the comic afterwards, but I made some 9/11 joke and I said, you know, he goes, we remember 9/11.
Oh, so he did
that.
That was a comment on.
Of course, I think it was like TikTok. It was like some comedy video.
That's the thing is, like, you can listen, the internet. If you want to make someone feel badly, Just take the moral high ground, no matter what it is. Strip context, strip nuance. You just go, they were debating which holiday mattered the least. And Memorial Day, they don't even care about the veterans. It's like, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're dating someone, what's the holiday you want your significant other to be really into?
Well, I mean, this is one of the reasons my marriage works is Halloween. We love Halloween. We're a big Halloween. We had a horror podcast and it may come back. Jared was on it.
It's great.
It was very funny. It may come back. We had to take a break because the actor strike went over and my wife got real work again.
Okay.
You know, my wife is a casting director and, you know, I had to do some stuff too. But like Halloween, we basically all of October, we watch a horror movie every night. It's one of these things where, like, we like to go get pumpkins. We like, you know, autumnal hues,
yes,
cider, like all the like bullshit that is around Halloween. It's actually like very pleasurable for us. You know,
see, I agree with you. I think Halloween is probably the best one to share with your partner. Mm-hmm. Because you're both getting something out of it. First of all, there's a sexual aspect to it.
And then Halloween, at the very end, you guys, like, your wife gets to dress slutty.
Right.
And it's totally fine. So it's like, there is fucking at the very end of it, but it's not the whole holiday. It's just that one night, you know, where it's hot. Although my wife and I have never done, like, she hasn't done a, maybe I'll make her, like, do, although she's in her 40s and that, like, gets, once you get, like, not, my wife's very attractive, but, like, I think, like, a 40-year-old woman doesn't want to dress up as slutty as, like, a 20-year-old woman does. Well,
it's a different type of slutty, but I think that also...
Like, they're not going to wear the hot ref costume.
No, but they'll do something. I think that the idea of, like, I'm going to be a little bit different than my normal self still applies, you know? I think the bottom of this list is Valentine's Day.
I think so.
Like, having a significant other that's... first of all, if it's a dude that's doing a Valentine's Day, it's like, what's the grift here?
Yeah,
like, I would assume that the guy's trying to, like, fuck someone over. But when it's so... when someone's, like, so into Valentine's Day, it's like, you're just... I don't know.
It's very basic.
If it's basic, it's like, do I have to do more for you? Like, it feels very, like, I like getting things.
Yeah.
I give things. Because Halloween's a giving thing, like, to... go outside of yourself to, like, give candy. Let's watch a movie together.
And it's like all this money you're spending on Halloween is just for fun. Like, there's not, like, you're not going to be able to wear this thing again.
Right. You can't wear your witch's costume.
The pumpkin's going to rot.
Right.
You know, like, eventually. But Valentine's Day, I mean, this year, what did we do? I had a show. And I remember I got booked on the show and didn't realize it. And there was a lot of people at the show. And I was like, can I do it? And she's like, yeah, of course you can do. And then I got, like, a bunch of pastries and I got her, like, a Sopranos bobblehead. But it's like one of these things where it's not like.
Yeah, but what did you get? Off the hook.
She got something for me, I think.
She did?
I think she got something.
You don't even remember it, though.
She bought, like, Indian food. So Indian I got the dessert and then a little present and she got the Indian food. So, like, it was, like, totally sweet and fine. But it was, like, it was, you know, like. It's amateur hour, man.
Right.
You know?
If you've ever wanted the male equivalent of a padded bra, MeUndies has you covered. The contoured pouch and ball caddy will make you look huge with their micromodal sling that keeps things lifted and separated. It's also super soft, so you'll never have to sacrifice comfort for a giant dong. I love this. I love that you have the option. I love that... you have a bunch of underwear right now. There's one that you're dealing with. There's one that's the end of the rotation. There's one that when you go to do laundry day, you're wearing and you don't really like that much. Here's your permission to throw it away. Here's your permission to get that as a gift for someone. Someone in your life has a bad pair of underwear, you're going to be doing them a favor. MeUndies has something for everyone. If you're into classic colors and cuts, they've got it. Want crazy prints and brights? They've got that too. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody. Good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/feather. That's MeUndies.com/feather for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. Nothing stinks more than body odor. Luckily, Lumi is here to fix the issue once and for all. Lumi is the world's first whole body deodorant. It's powered by mandelic acid to control odor before it even starts. With 72-hour odor control, you can put this stuff on your pits, your privates, your feet, anywhere you have odor, but wish you didn't. With scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, and toasted coconut, you'll smell great on even the muggiest days. I got toasted coconut on my pits right now. It smells, and I know this is a weird word to use, delicious. It smells good. It smells edible. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant. I use that, put it on my feet. It's great. Two free products of your choice. They got mini body wash and deodorant wipes and free shipping. As a special offer for J-Train listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code JTRAIN5 at LumiDeodorant.com. That's over 40% of your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com. Use code JTRAIN5.
Oh, you don't want to like do a prefix with a bunch of other unhappy couples.
No, but St. Patrick's Day, if you have a significant other that's really into that, it's like you're signing up to be a babysitter once a year, I think.
Right.
Like you have to like...
It's, you know what it's St. Patrick's Day is for? It's for people that don't have the courage to be real alcoholics.
Okay.
They're like, okay, I know I can only... this is my true self, but I can only... There's only a couple nights a year, like New Year's, St. Patty's Day, that I can really embrace this version of myself. So if like you're a real alcoholic, it's like, yeah,
that's
it's like
Tuesday.
You'll find a way to, like, God, the area that we're in right now. I'm not going to say the exact area, but it's, you know, Midtown Hell's Kitchen adjacent, and there are bars, the bars that are around Madison Square Garden,
right,
that all smell like ammonia, and
it's a
like,
tough hang.
It is, dude. But like the alcoholics that go there, the guys who like take the 2-hour lunches. Who just get fucking blotto before, like, that's the, they're not celebrating St. Patty's Day.
Right.
You know,
showering like, once a week. They have the vibe of like, they all know each other a little bit.
Yeah, the real alcoholics are whatever day your paycheck comes in. That's your St. Patty's
Day. Right.
So once every 2 weeks is your St. Patty's Day.
And also those bars during St. Patrick's Day are the worst.
Absolutely.
So that's the ones that get packed the most. And it's like, you've taken over someone's home. Like you've actually... You know, you've gentrified someone's, you know, flea bag motel where they get hammered in the middle of the day.
Yeah, and there's always like a hot girl dressed as a leprechaun, but like every guy is hitting on her at the same time. And she's in survival mode. Like she came in thinking this is like, oh, this is, I'm going to get attention. But then by the end, she's like, holy shit. This is like, I was like a honeycomb that went to the bear exhibition. Like it, cause it's like, there's just no filter. These guys. And then you see like the guys like following him, you know, like
it's bad.
Just terrifying.
It is not a good showing for men. 4th of July, if I had a significant other that was into that.
Yeah. That's nice.
It's nice. I like that. The time of year helps.
I think if you have kids, that's a good one to be into.
Right. You can go to like a
grill and, you know, give them sparklers and shit.
There's a pool. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. Memorial Day is just, you know, for me, I think that's to be really into it. It would be good if they were like a football fan. I'd be like, okay, you're, Memorial Day is Labor Day is the other one.
Memorial Day
is a bad one to be very into. It's always a disappointment. Memorial Day is like the start of summer. But especially in the Northeast, if the weather doesn't work out, you are screwed for Memorial Day. Like, I had top 10 disappointments in days have been a Memorial Day trip. I think if anyone takes that trip, if you take it somewhere Northeast, somewhere like a beach town up here, you're delusional, actually.
You know, I think the days that get harder as you get older, like Memorial Day would be fine, but Christmas is harder for me. Like
really?
That one. Like, I like Thanksgiving, but Christmas, because, not to be macabre, but like more people are dead now the older you get. Like, there's like something that's attached to it. There's like
Dan St. Germain's special is called More People Are Dead Now. It's on YouTube. Where'd you tape it?
I taped it at Old Man Hustle, Brooklyn Comedy Club.
In Brooklyn.
Great club. In Williamsburg. It's you know, check it out, guys. It's
it's out. It's on YouTube.
It's out on YouTube.
Comment. It's great. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Don't look back on your life and wish you'd spent it differently. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. BetterHelp is amazing. Their trained therapists will work with you to help you set boundaries, learn positive coping skills, and become the best version of yourself. Even better, it's all totally online. No sitting in a sterile office. You can do therapy from the comfort of your own home. Talk to your therapist over video call, phone, or even by message, whatever works for you. They didn't mention in this copy, but you can get in your car and drive around while you talk to a therapist. I think that is wonderful. I am someone who likes to do little things while they work, I like to move. I want to feel like I'm, you know, forward motion. It gets me talking more. It makes me feel more comfortable. You can get in your car, talk to a licensed therapist. And honestly, they have a quiz that you can get tested to match with a licensed therapist. If you don't like who they match you with, you can switch it up. I love that you can switch it anytime. Find someone you're comfortable with. Find the right therapist for you. And also, this is a hard thing to get into. Therapy is just, it feels like a mountain. This makes it into a molehill, so to speak. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/JTrain to get 10% off your first month. That's 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/JTrain, BetterHelp.com/JTrain. The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code JTRAIN. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code JTRAIN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. That's 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions. And deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. People, I'm on the road. I got a great show. I want you to come assemble the group chat. Bring your friends, bring your family. It's called the Family Business Tour because it's a one-hour story about going to the beach with my family. If you love your parents, but you get annoyed by them and you're on the family plan, you're going to love this show. So I'm coming to Minneapolis, Royal Oak, Michigan, Boise, Idaho, Olympia, Washington, Vancouver, Denver, San Francisco, McKees Rocks, Pennsylvania, that's Pittsburgh, Columbus, Los Angeles, New Orleans, Dallas, Nashville. Wait, this is, you know, listen, Dan's here. We're going to do an email. We're going to do a luxury lounge. We're going to do some conspiracy theories. Last time you came on, you came in hot with conspiracy theories and aliens are here. And
well, that was that week that they came out and they said aliens are real. No one gave a shit.
No one cared at all.
No one cared at all.
No one still cares. I mean,
no.
Do you get, is that your TikTok feed? Is it all alien stuff?
No,
I get a lot of
Sean stuff. Doddle. He's a very funny comic. But no, he's more the alien guy.
He's the alien guy.
Yeah, he's much more.
Yours is more government.
Mine's more government.
We're
Which also is involved in extraterrestrials, obviously.
Right, you dabble.
I dabble.
We're going to get into Dan's conspiracy theories in the Patreon, but first, let's do some emails and send them in jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Okay, bringing up an ex.
Mm-hmm.
You and your wife, you guys got together later, right?
Yeah.
How old were you when you met your wife?
Probably 30. How old am I now? Like, I'm going to be 40 in May. So probably
33, 34. Oh, so there were exes.
Yeah. We kind of have a rule where we can talk about any ex whatsoever. There's some I don't talk about with her because she has like trauma from them. She doesn't want to deal with them. But like the
from
only ones.
From your exes?
No, hers.
Oh, but you don't bring up her exes. Yeah, that would be weird for you to bring up her exes.
Hey, how's Jim doing?
Right.
That actually is the name of one of her exes, who she did not have any problems with, by the way. So I don't
Jim's
wanna,
okay.
I don't want to throw that under the bus.
Sure.
But there was, I think, because we dated briefly and then broke up and dated other people and then got back together. And
what
those
brought you guys back together?
We became really good friends. And then, we dated, we're hot and heavy, broke up, became really good friends. And then we kind of realized, oh, this is the thing.
What are we doing?
Yeah, what are we doing?
How do you become good friends? How do you make a friend?
I think she was just, how do you get a friend?
No, but I'm saying you're in your 30s. You're making good friends. I mean, she's good looking. Like, yeah.
Well, we were on other coasts too, so that
okay.
was rough. I think if we were on the I think we would have gotten together a lot faster if we were on the same coast. But I moved back to L.A. for a job, and she had her work here. So, and then our time together was so short that like we didn't really have enough time to establish, hey, let's do a long distance thing. But then we like saw each other enough and hung out and talked on the phone enough, you know, while we were also. But I think like bringing up those people in that interval is like a little tough. Like we don't want to like that because we were in the movie already. Do you know what I mean? Once you're in the movie, you don't want to know there's another group. But everyone who's in the movie before I was in the movie, I'm fine with.
You know what's so funny you say that? I went on a date when I was in another city. Okay. Yeah. This girl DM'd and I was like, we'll go out, we'll get a drink. We get a drink and then it's like fine. It was kind of like when you're on a date in another city with someone who DM'd you, you're like, what's the plan here? Like, what's going on? What are you here for is kind of the thought. Like, are you here because this is your crazy story? You got to meet up with the guy you DM'd. Are you here to like hook up? Are you here to like maybe see what this could be and like try and travel? Like, I don't know.
That one usually doesn't work out.
Listen, I'm giving all that the one. Options.
I'm meeting you in Des Moines. This is either a story or we're fucking.
That's the male thought. And I don't want to put that on someone else. And I remember saying to them, I go, what's going on here? What's the lore? Yeah.
The lore.
Like, give me. And I go, are you dating? And she goes, I went on the best date of my life last week. And I go, really? And I go, what made it so good? She goes, it's the most I've ever laughed on a date. I'm like, I'm like, I'm a comedian. Are you negging me? What's going on? And and there was a point when she said that I got up visually upset. Like I was like, because I was more upset with myself, if I'm being honest. I was what am I doing here? I should just be in bed. I'm drinking still.
Well, that's the thing too, is that your job isn't to be funny on that date.
It's to be affable, to get to know you.
Yeah.
Also, whatever the idea of me versus him. Okay, I challenge him to a roast. Like I'm not gonna do that. So I go. Well, what happened with him? And she goes, well, we're going out next week. And I go, well, how did you meet him? And she's like, well, he was introduced to me by friends, and then he like backed away because it got too serious. And then he goes. And then he went and dated someone else. And now he's like reached out to my friends to see if I was still single. So then we went on that date and it was the best. I was like, and I'm literally now I'm side character Jared. I am seen in the movie as you bring up, because I'm looking at her going, you should date him.
Right.
And
what
what am I doing? And now I'm the guy in the movie. Like the music is getting weird. And like, you know, that scene that
denouement where it's like, in the rom-com where it's like, it didn't work out. Let's still see other people. And then they're on the date. It's like the Woody Allen thing. They're doing he's trying to recreate the lobster thing in Annie Hall and it's not working. You're that guy.
Right.
You're the not working.
I'm the not working.
Yes.
I'm the loser.
Yeah.
I'm the guy who got a day rate to do one scene in the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
And I had that moment where I was like, again, like, I guess she could tell him about me. If they got together 10 years from now, they got kids. You know, I went on one more date.
Right.
And he was a comedian, big time guy.
I was funnier than the comedian. That's the story too.
I'm funnier than
this guy with the Netflix special. I was funnier than.
Right. He tells everyone, there's the guy. This is the guy that convinced her that she should run back to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I felt like a piece of shit. But I think this is all important to get into before we get into this email.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you make a great point. Like, you know, our movie has begun. So when it's in our movie, I need that person to be someone I can trash, or it can't be, his dick was too big when we fucked, so I came back to Dan. Like, you can't do that.
I just needed a dick I could really not, an unimpressive dick.
Right. Unimpressive dick is Dan's new special. It's out on YouTube right now.
That's actually going to be the first comment. First YouTube comment.
But they're just talking about you as a human. It's an unimpressive dick.
Yeah, it's going to be the most favorited comment.
I'm 30 and have been on 3 dates with a 31-year-old guy with plans for a fourth after he gets back from a 2-week trip visiting family out of the states. I've been out of state. I've been using this time to evaluate how I'm feeling towards him. Our conversations and chemistry are top notch, but there's a very big red flag. He's mentioned his ex-girlfriend on every single date we've been on. On the first date, it came up fairly normally. He moved to our city right before the pandemic and explained that he started dating this girl pretty quickly after his move, and things ended after 1.5 years. Apparently, this was the longest relationship he's had, and she was very mean. Okay, and then dated another girl for 9 months. I burst out laughing and said, well, that's the whole pandemic. Clearly, he's a serial monogamous, whereas I usually default to single. So I just kind of moved the conversation along from there. When he brought this mean ex up again on the second date, I said, she seems to be a sticky person for you, meaning something about her or their dynamic was sticking in his mind for some reason or another. He explained that he was definitely over her, but he didn't have any friends when he first moved to our city, and much of the time here is associated with the time spent with her, which does make sense. She also texted him that she needed some time. She also texted him that she needed someone to talk to on St. Patrick's Day, and they met up a week before we even matched on Hinge. I kept saying, no need to explain, it's none of my business, hoping he would just shut the fuck up about it. He said multiple times that they didn't hook up, but finally took the hint and moved on from the conversation. I figured this was a big hint that I really didn't want to hear more about, but he mentioned it again on the third date. I vaguely acknowledged what he was saying, but quickly changed the subject. Honestly, I'm pissed and turned off that he keeps bringing her up. I'm all for an ex talk, but if it's a funny story or if it's something that you learned about yourself or what you want in a relationship. But basically, all he keeps saying about her is that she's mean, and yet he dated her for 1.5 years. Is this as big a red flag as it feels? There's such an ease when we hang out together, and I'm really liking everything else. But how do you not know not to bring up a relationship that ended almost a year ago with a person you don't even seem to like on 3 out of 3 dates? If when he brings it up again, how do I even respond? I'm torn because I want to know the reason this keeps happening, but I'm honestly sick of talking about her and don't want to open up more conversation. What do you think?
Well, the one thing he did, you know, mentioning that she was the only person he kind of knew in the city. Right. So those are the stories like that tracks for me.
Me
too. Especially if you like move to a city and the girl you're dating is the only person you know, then all your stories are going to be from that.
Right.
I don't know why he brought up the second story about like needed someone to talk to. Like, I feel like that he could have, you know, but you know, dude, you're 3 dates in, like neither of you owe anything to the other person.
I agree. I it is funny. It's like you read this email and I'm like, who sounds like I would want to talk to them more. And I kind of want to talk to the guy with the ex more than I want to talk to the emailer. Like,
right.
Even though I appreciate their email, like, you know, just like, listen, all mentions of exes can't be seen in a vacuum. It can't be ex again, 3 out of 3.
Right.
That's a little different than, hey, I'm discussing my past relationships. I don't think he's over the pain of the last relationship. He might be over this person, but I don't think he's worked through, like, because he says she's mean. Like, I don't know if I've ever referred to an ex as mean.
Yeah, if he's referring to her, if he's referring to her as mean, then he's just not, like, he's still working through
something.
So, and it doesn't seem like what he's working through is his feelings towards her. It feels like he's working through the bad time he had with her.
Right. And honestly, it could be like, why did I stay in that so long?
Right.
It could be, you know, I feel... And the fact that this person's like, how could we get along so well, but this one thing is annoying me? It's a little bit your problem.
It's also like, dude, once you start dating in your 30s, it's like all the rules of your 20s, like everyone's lived a life at this point.
Right.
Like everyone's been in love. Everyone's had sex. Everyone's gone through heartbreak. You know, like it's like,
and that's,
you're
and
not,
what,
you know.
In the next relationship, again, I like what you said, like the movie. In the next movie, you're going to reference what happened in the first movie.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to say to your new person you're dating, again, it's also okay. I don't like the way they handled it. That's my issue. It's one thing to bring up your ex. I can understand why that would annoy you. Yeah. It's another thing to like not say anything and go, move on.
Yeah.
And just go, I acknowledge it, but I made sure we moved on. It's like, you're already keeping things in. You're already resenting the person that you're sitting across the table from.
Yes.
Like, I would rather the person, if I was on a date and I was like, yeah, I dated someone, then we lived together, and then I moved out. And since then, I've kind of been in, you know, the farthest I can get along is like 6 months. And after those 6 months, I kind of think of things in terms of my last ex and how hard that was to break up. And it really does weigh on me, you know, ending another relationship. So if it's not like an excited thing that I'm in, then I tend to move on, and maybe I cut things too short. Mm-hmm. And that kind of weighs on me too. Like, it's a lot of like regret that I've cut things off with someone, or did I even give them a chance? Someone could hear this whole speech and go, wow, this guy's fucked up.
Yeah.
He's and go, I'm out of here. That's okay to do.
Yeah.
But if you stop me at, yeah, I was with someone and we lived together, I don't need to hear. Like, yeah, you didn't even get a chance.
Yeah.
To know how also, fucked up, like, or what I'm fucked up
know.
On.
Like, the thing is too, it's like, I kind of want to know, you know, what didn't, like, you know, you're getting information that's going to help you with whatever your thing is going to turn into. So it's like, right. You kind of want to know how this person's changed. You want to know if this person hasn't changed. Like, all this, mm-hmm. like, you know, like, you should know as much information as you can about somebody.
Also, and telling these stories about an ex and how I have a mean girlfriend, or mm-hmm. she was mean. Okay, I don't really buy that. I go, okay. To me, that's the door opening to vulnerability.
Yeah.
Why? How? What happened?
Right.
I would ask more questions. I'd dig in. Vulnerability produces vulnerability. Then you're going to, you know, open up about your past relationships, what you didn't like. He's getting information on you.
Yeah. It
goes both ways. The whole thing of don't bring up an ex or don't talk about past relationships, I don't even understand. I can understand, like, here's what people are afraid of when they say they don't want to hear that. They're afraid they're going to be turned off so much that they're going to lose a hand that could have been good.
Yeah.
Like, this person's writing in going, everything else is great, but I'm so annoyed. It's like, yeah, you're annoyed because you're learning about the person.
It's also like, he's not talking about how amazing this girl is.
Right. There's a classy way, and there's, you know,
I think
to me,
this is more about her insecurities, this email.
I agree. And I think it's okay to end something with someone, but like, what she's looking for, this emailer, mm-hmm. is to blame them for why it ended. No, you're turned off. You're learning about him. You're learning about how he deals with his ex and how he dealt with figuring out who he is via this relationship. Obviously, he hasn't figured it out. He's calling her a meanie. You know, like, to me, I think you're finding out that you're like, oh, maybe he's too immature for me. Even though you guys are in your 30s, it doesn't matter. You're turned off. And she even says, honestly, I'm pissed and turned off that he keeps bringing her up. No, you're pissed and turned off to hear how he's bringing her up.
Right.
And I think that's like it's a little thing. And again, sometimes it takes writing it out to realize that. Like, I wouldn't realize that unless I wrote it out.
Yeah.
Or said it out loud.
Now, if it was like, if you were on your 10th date, you know, and he keeps bringing up your ex, then I think you're in your right to be like, hey, man, stop bringing up my ex.
Especially after you've talked it out with him.
Right.
Like, if you've had this conversation before, hey, why is she mean? Oh, and then he tells you the story, and then you discuss the meanness, and then 10 dates in, he goes, this ex is so mean. You'd be like, we did that already.
Right. And it's like that Chris Rock thing. Like, it's the first couple of dates, you're just meeting each other's representative anyway.
Right.
So, like, it's not, you know, there's a reason he's bringing this story up, and maybe he's bringing this up being like, she was mean to me, in the sense of what he's saying is, I'm not going to date this dynamic again. So I want you to know these are my boundaries, and I don't want a girl that's mean to me.
Right.
So it's like, so I don't know. It just, but you know, you're three dates in, man. You don't know fucking shit.
Is
about
there
this
an
person.
Ex that if your wife brought them up, you'd be like, we've done this already. I don't need to hear this.
No, I'm like I said before, like, I think, like, during the time when I was in the movie, like, those people, but even then, now it's like, we've been together long enough where that wouldn't really bother me.
Right. Is there anyone that you've brought up that she's like, enough?
Not particularly. I don't think she'd want to hear like like, oh man, we had great sex. Well, you know, I don't think she would want to hear right. that.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's but that's kind of the point of like X in a vacuum. Like, yeah, it's how you say
it's
it.
It's like Elf on a Shelf. X in a vacuum. I don't think that there's any. You know, I don't think so. I mean, like
X in a vacuum is Dan St. Germain's new special. That's the new, on YouTube. What is it called?
It's called Dance Fatty Dance.
Dance Fatty Dance. Yeah. X in a vacuum could have been better.
Yeah.
We're gonna have the link to Dan's special.
Yeah, please check it out.
In the description of this episode. Let's do a luxury lounge. Again, the luxury lounge, the home of complaining. Mm-hmm. Complain about anything you'd like. If you have a luxury lounge complaint, you can comment on the YouTube and submit it that way, or you can send it to jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Luxury Lounge, steam room etiquette. Are you a steam room
user? I'm not a steam room guy.
No?
No.
I love it sometimes.
I don't really. I just feel, I mean, I like it if I'm going to do, maybe if I'm going to take, I like it as part of a spa package.
Okay.
But maybe, I mean, just doing the steam room, like some guys do that. Like
no, I don't just go for a steam.
But YMCA. I do want to do, yeah, I'm supposed to, at some point with Tommy Pope, do like the Turkish bath thing. So
I've heard good things about that, but like, you know, if it's part of a program, I like that. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you get access to the steam if you get the massage and you get your right. whatever, all the treatments. But I have one at my gym. I like to sometimes stretch out in it.
So you're like that all balls guy.
I'm not. I
like when you come in, like I'm seeing your balls immediately as soon as I open.
I'm stretching out in the towel. I do it kind of like undercover. Like, see how I'm like sitting with my legs crossed here. Yeah. Like I'll like bend over with a towel on to like get the stretch here. But like something about just being in that heat. Here's the email. Feather. I'll get right into the point. Some people at my gym behave abhorrently in the sauna. I belong to a Lifetime gym, which is a luxury gym similar to Equinox. So this isn't a Planet Fitness type crowd, if you know what I mean.
I know Lifetime.
Yeah?
I've just heard of it. So I guess that's a big... That's the new Equinox.
I've been to a Lifetime Fitness, I think. It's
nice.
I wouldn't think of it on the same as Equinox, but okay. On multiple occasions, people have been applying lotions, doing full body scrubs, and using other scented products in the steam room, despite signage on the outside requesting them not to. The smells are way too intense when amplified by the steam sauna, and it ruins the experience when I just want to inhale the usual eucalyptus smell. The steam room is very small, and I've had to turn around and leave because multiple women are lying down, taking up a full bench of precious real estate, and there isn't anywhere for me to sit down. It's so rude. The above annoyances pale in comparison to the worst two offenses I've ever had. One time I entered the steam room only to be greeted by an elderly woman's literal bare asshole in my face as
really
she was
picked up steam this message.
Right. We went from eucalyptus to bare asshole. Elderly woman's literal bare asshole in my face as she was lying in child's pose with absolutely no clothing on. So child's pose is what?
Like I think it's like child's pose is like she's presenting that asshole on a platter.
I mean, let's take a look at a child's pose. Yeah, that's a tough one naked.
That's a tough one.
I would do child's pose in a bathtub while the shower ran over me while hungover.
Yeah.
That would be me crying.
I think that's
into
just
the
being
ground.
An alcoholic. Yeah.
Yeah. That's me on St. Patrick's Day.
That's St. Patrick's Day. Yeah, that's St. Patty's Day pose.
Right. And I promptly turned around and left. A few weeks later, I entered and was greeted by another orifice directly into my eyesight. Another orifice directed into my eyesight. This time, a woman without clothes on was seated spread eagle, knees in her armpits, coochie out on display. What? Can you do that?
I think you can do. But the thing is, the two things that she's complaining about here that are worse, you can't complain about because you can't tell someone to not be naked in a steam room, but you can tell them to not put the products on.
Right.
But you can't tell them. You have to tell. This is one of these things you have to tell somebody from the gym. You can't. Once you're naked and the other person's naked, there should be no reprimand. You know, you need someone with clothes to reprimand the naked person.
Right.
There needs to be a buffer.
A security guard outfit to come in, which is the most uncomfortable thing of all. Clothed person in the steam room. Ugh, I can't.
Giving you butthole etiquette.
Right. Hey, put it away.
Put it away.
I don't know. Again, I had to leave as there was nowhere for me to sit without having her in full view. See, the issue of full view This is a hard one. I'm all for body positivity and nudity. See, like, I don't know why this is body positivity at all, but I want a hard workout. But all I want after a hard workout is to unwind and relax in the steam room for a few minutes without being assaulted by the nauseating scent of lotions or the explicit and unwelcome sights of buttholes and cooters.
What is this?
Cooter.
Is this the last person? Has this became a character from Porky's?
All these cooters in the steam room.
Oh my goodness.
Sincerely steaming mad about steam room etiquette. What do you think? You bring up a great point, because here's the problem. What can you complain about versus what would be difficult to police? Because if you say no lotions, there it is. It's all right in front of you. Get the lotions out of here.
Yeah.
You can't say, get your pussy out of my face.
Because I think it's very difficult.
It's very difficult because she even says, I had to leave because it was within my eye line. It's in my view. You're the crazy person.
Yeah,
all these vaginas are in my eyesight.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody who like doesn't realize they're gay. You're like, I just keep looking at these guys' dicks all the time.
Right. And
it's put like, them away.
Maybe you're looking for dicks, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Because when she says, I just love the idea, I had to leave as there was nowhere for me to sit without having her in full view.
Yeah.
That is debatable. We have to take the debatable.
How big is this asshole? Do you know what I mean? Like, is this all encompassing?
Big tussy.
Yeah, is this like Attack of the 50 foot woman, but with a butthole? Like, it's just as soon as you get in there, it's this.
But this is the problem. You're bringing up the issue. Everyone thinks the person who keeps seeing buttholes in the steam room is the crazy one. Not the when you say child's pose, you go, yeah, that is weird. Why would they do that? But why are you looking for their anus?
Right.
So. I think
80-year-old woman is her problem. Like, right, if there was like, oh, this beautiful model is in child's pose, you wouldn't think about it. But
here's my issue, and here's what I would say to them, and here's the solution. One, creams, aloes, you're putting on stuff in the steam room. That's an easy one. You go to the staff. Hey, there's people bringing lotions and creams. I need you to alert them. Make a sign. Make this a people need to know. That's easy. The person's vagina was in my face, tougher. Here's what needs to happen. I go to the gym and I go to the steam room. People don't sit in the normal seats. There's no delineation between seats in the steam room. And that's the problem. Because sometimes I go in there and it's 5 people, but they're sitting for 10. Sometimes I go in there and there's 10 people and no one's seated. Because people are standing, they need to do. Remember during COVID, they'd have like the feet in the ground where you should stand in the elevator.
Yeah.
They need to have butt pictures on the seats
You're a job creator, you know, like how many more jobs are going to be created now?
I look at the writers have to do something now that AI is here. They can put down butt. But I think this is a real solution, because sometimes I go and someone's sitting for 2, someone's sitting, you know, but if we just had a little thing on the ground that said that there was a picture of a butt, then the person in child's pose would be spread out too much.
What's actually make this a bigger thing? Do you think that would help subways?
Absolutely. This is the problem on subways, is that like if it's a bench, some people spread their knees out and they put their bag on the seat. If it just had little pictures of butts on the seats, it would be hard to argue.
You would know that you were, I mean, the real crazy guy's going to do whatever. But
it's like an airplane. Like, you know your airplane seat is the armrest to the armrest.
Yes.
So if your knees go outside of armrest and someone pushes your knee, you go, and there are fights, don't get me wrong, but at least there's a physical showing of when you are outside of your space.
Yes.
And that's the problem with steam rooms, is we go in there, it's just a bench. And people go, oh, it's a bench for me to do my child's pose. And you go, no. There's a line of tape that shows you where you should be.
But part of the steam room is it looking steam roomy, you know, and it looking relaxing. So if you start putting all those partitions in there, does it? You know, like
it does start to look like a ramen place in Tokyo. Just everyone.
Yeah, it looks like a medical facility,
right?
Or something like that.
That's the thing. It's like, like when I'm doing my stretch, and I told you I stretch, I'll take the one knee, one leg, put it on my knee, and I push forward.
Yeah.
That's me keeping to my space. So you can do your own stretch, just keep in your space. And then, because that would take this person's complaint and make it actual, tangible, a real thing.
I thought I'd turn this off. So embarrassing,
look,
guys.
At Dan St. Germain.
So embarrassing.
Special.
It was my father.
So embarrassing is out on YouTube. So we're going to go to Patreon. We're going to talk conspiracy theories with Dan. He's the leading conspiracy theory comic that I know.
Well, there's a couple, but yeah.
There's a few.
I mean, I'm doing Sam Tripoli's podcast in LA, and that guy's like,
he's Mr. Conspiracy Theory. Yeah,
and also the last podcast on the left guys, I would put them all above me. But
you're in the group.
I'm in the group. I can talk to them, and it's like, you know, like when you can play, when you go to the Boys and Girls Club and you can play with a professional athlete.
Right.
You know, that's kind of where right. I would end.
Like you,
I'm
and
not,
I can talk,
I'm not
football.
A pro, but I can play.
Yeah, I
can talk. I'm not a football expert, but I can talk with you about football.
Right.
I probably know less than you do, but I can still talk with
We're
you.
Heading to Patreon now. Be sure to watch the rest of the episode. Patreon.com/JaredFreed. We're going to be talking Dan St. Germain's conspiracy theories. We're also going to be talking about what is the, you had me watch a show, the Octopus Murders.
The Octopus Murders. It's on Netflix. Have you seen it? I'm asking your producer.
It's pretty wild.
No one can hear.
I watched it because you told me to watch it, but then also Colin Cowherd on his podcast, he was like, I'm watching the Octopus Murders. It's making me trust the government less.
Yeah. And I mean, it's pretty damning.
It's damning.
I would say it's pretty damning. I'd say it's one of those, you know, like you watch like some of these like other documentaries like Loose Change and you're like, you're helping them do the math to make it a conspiracy. Mm. But this one, it's all out there for you.
We're going to talk about it on Patreon, patreon.com/JaredFreed. Yeah. $5 a month gets you at the end of every episode of the podcast. Plus, I do Coffee with J Train every other couple weeks. So go sign up. But we're going to be talking about Octopus Murders because I do have a lot of thoughts on documentaries as a thing.
Yeah.
So we're over. Okay.